Okay, so we are here for the walkthrough for problem set 6, which focuses almost entirely on Python, but it first introduces you guys to some problems past. So we'll take a look at problem set 1's Mario in this problem set yet again. We'll take a look at Greedy, we'll take a look at Credit, Caesar, Visionaire, Crack, and then finally we'll challenge you with something entirely new. So Python is a little different in spirit from C in that its syntax is very different, but this is very similar in spirit to what we did some time ago when we transitioned from Scratch to see, so that you'll see over the coming week that even though some of the syntax is different and you might see some new error messages that sort of mess with your brain a little bit, like the ideas are not changing. Like there's still functions, there's still loops, there's still conditions, there's still variables, so all of the ideas just look a little different, much like that transition from Scratch to C. So what you'll find is that there are no new specifications for any of 1, 2, or 3 here. You simply have a menu of options, and we ask you at the beginning of problem set 6 to re-implement either the more comfy or the less comfy version of Mario, to implement the less comfy or more comfy version of Greedy, or rather, to implement Greedy or Credit, and then finally to implement Caesar or Visionaire or Crack, and just to plant a seed, don't necessarily skew toward the same comfort level that you did way back in week 1 or 2. Now would be a good chance to sort of push yourself a bit more, but really the goal of these exercises is to give you some syntactical familiarity with a new language and port these programs from left to right, from C to Python, but also give you an appreciation, hopefully, of like, oh my God, what took you an hour in week 1 or 3 hours in week 1 might very well take you now 10 minutes or maybe 20 minutes with a little bit of Googling for syntax, because you'll have gotten so much, hopefully, more comfortable. So let me just give you a general advice on how to tackle 1, 2, and 3. And we mentioned this in the specification, but I think one of the most useful things you can do in CS50 IDE when tackling this part of the problem set is to select view layout and horizontal split so that you can actually have two windows side by side. And so on the left-hand side here, suppose that one of the problems for this PSET were to port, that is translate hello.c to hello.py. You'll recall, and you might be thrilled, that you will probably never again or for quite some time have to type this magical incantation again. We had in week 1, hello world, that looks a little something like this on the left. Let me go ahead on the right now and save this as hello.py and go ahead and port or convert this from C to Python. So, done. Okay, so what's going on here? I mean, there's really not all that much to discuss, but clearly the counterpart of printf in Python is quite simply going to be a print function. What is missing from the right-hand side that's been omnipresent in pretty much every C function we've used? Yeah, so no semicolons. So if you used to hate the semicolons, they are gone. You can have them there, but it would be best practice no longer to have them simply because they're not necessary. And so really the right way, the tightest way to write this program would quite simply be to do this. So let me go ahead and save this now. And this is in a file called hello.py. And in my directory here, let me go ahead and do ./hello.py, enter. Permission denied. It's not working as it once did. Maybe I have to do make hello. Okay, that worked, but what did it compile? Hello.c, so that's not really that useful. What if I do a clang of hello.py? We've never seen that error before. But what's the key takeaway? And I realize you might not have watched week 8's lecture just yet over the weekend, but those who have perhaps, what am I missing? I'm missing Python, but what do you mean by that?
Kind of like that's the command you would run.
Yeah, so Python is going to be interpreted in this case. There's not going to be an explicit compilation step whereby we convert my source code on the right to machine code, zeros and ones. Instead, we're going to run a program that itself is called Python, who takes as a command line argument the file that you want to run or interpret, so to speak, and now once I run it that way, it gets executed. And so what's really happening underneath the hood here is the Python interpreter underneath the hood is actually technically compiling the code hello.py into something called bytecode. And if you've ever seen or played with Python before, you might actually occasionally see files called hello.pyc for compiled Python. We've disabled those files in CS50 IDE because they're unnecessary and they're generally used just for performance's sake, so that the interpreter doesn't have to recompile your program again if you've not made changes. But underneath the hood, what Python is doing is sort of secretly compiling your code into something called bytecode, which isn't quite zeros and ones. It's a little higher level, so to speak. And then it is interpreting that bytecode line by line by line. And if you look back at week 8's lecture, I showed a super simple example of what that bytecode looks like. But for all intents and purposes, we, the developers, don't need to care about that step or need to care about bytecode. So a quick question then. Why is this better? Why is it arguably better that now I can just run Python space hello.py? If you scratch your head, I'm going to think you're answering. What's better about this, do you think? Even if it's just intuition or conjecture. Yeah. You don't need to make files, so there's a simplicity to it, right? There's less overhead in my God. When I ran Clang a moment ago, I mean, look how ridiculously cryptic it was, even though we were relying on make to do this, just to compile C code. There was potentially a lot going on there. So just running Python hello.py is a lot simpler, for sure. What else? Beyond the mere simplicity. Well, what about the obvious? So you write a program in C. How many steps does it take before you can run it? Two, right? Make or clang and then ./ whatever. But in the case of Python, just once. And indeed, this is the spirit of Python and languages like it. Python and Ruby and Perl and PHP and bunches of other languages are generally interpreted as opposed to compiled by the programmer. And so it's just a lot more pleasurable to develop. If you're writing some code, you make a quick change, you just rerun it. You don't have to make and then rerun it. I mean, you're literally halving the number of operations you have to do, which isn't such a big deal for such small problems. But once you're writing larger software, it could actually take seconds or even minutes to compile really large projects, and skipping that step certainly has some value. All right, so this is not nearly as user-friendly, though, as just running ./ hello. So you'll recall, or you'll see in week 8's lecture, that we also introduced this thing here, a so-called shebang at the top of the file, which you can pretty much copy and paste that looks like this. And what this line does is if the terminal window where we run all of our commands, notices that a file starts with exactly this kind of line, with a sharp symbol, so a hash, and then a exclamation point, the full path to this program called env, and then the name of the interpreter you want to use, and I'm being ever so explicit here, saying Python 3, so that we use the latest version, what you can then do is this. You can then do ./ hello.py, but not immediately. I'm still going to get this permission denied message. But what you'll see in the problem set 6 specification is that if you change the mode, chmod, for all of the world to have plus executability, so the ability to execute this file, I can do this, and nothing seems to happen, but I can now do ./ hello.py. But I don't have to reveal to the world what language this program is written in. I can do move hello.py to hello, and I'm going to overwrite my C version. ./ hello, and now it works as well. In fact, if I go up here, hello.py seems to have been deleted, but that's okay. It's actually here in the form of a file called just hello. All right, so that just cleans things up a little bit, but ultimately what you're going to be doing for this part of the problem set is looking back at Mario, greedy or credit, Caesar, visionaire or crack, and I would do exactly as I did on the left-hand side of your window, open up your actual C code, or if you weren't thrilled with how it turned out or it just didn't work way back when, that's fine. You can look at the sample staff solutions or postmortems that are online. It is allowed to look at a friend's C solution from weeks ago. If you thought he or she did a much better job and you'd like to convert a better version of those programs, by all means, what you shouldn't do is share their Python code. But looking at friend's C code, certainly, certainly okay. And don't overlook the hints that we offer at the bottom of this spec here, where we offer some mentions of like functions you might find helpful and other things to keep in mind. All right, so we'll spend most of our time hereafter on sentiments, the machine learning inspired problem in the problem set, but any questions on these three initial problems? Well, you'll convert problems past to present. Yeah. What's that?
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, of course. Indeed. And if you go back into week 8's sample materials, you'll see that we whipped up a version of Speller and the dictionary problem set in Python. And while I ran it in week 8's lecture on video, and you'll see that it took, I think, 0.15 seconds or something to actually spell check austinpowers.txt, if you go back and probably run your own C code, or at least the staff solution, you'll probably find that the C version, whether try or hash table, probably runs in at least half as much time as Python for exactly that reason. Because you have this program, Python, interpreting your code essentially line by line by line, that's relatively slower than just executing zeros and ones that are pre-configured for that Intel CPU or whatever it is inside. An excellent point.